Thanks for joining us today for our Sunday message. We're going to be in the Gospel of John. So if you have your Bible with you, take it with me and turn to John chapter number 6. We're going to start with just one verse, and that is verse number 35. I'm looking forward to the next several weeks. We're going to be discussing the I am statements of Jesus. And we begin in John chapter 6, 35. Let's look at what it says. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. Over the next few weeks, we'll look at some more of these statements. We'll see Jesus say, I am the door. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the vine. And today we begin here in John 6:35, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Now listen to the next part. I love the way the verse finishes. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. He is the bread of life. Let's look at this together this morning. But first, let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we thank you so much that we can take this time and separate it out from our week and really focus on you and your word. I pray that as we study the Bible together, that our hearts would be in tune. I pray that we would give you the full attention that we deserve. And Lord, I truly ask that you would help me right now. I pray that you'd help all that I say to be what you would have me say. Help it to be an encouragement to someone today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we begin thinking about these I am statements of Jesus, and especially today where he says, I am the bread of life, we should take a minute and just think about the significance of the I am statement. You see, these powerful statements really are revealing the identity of Jesus. At this point in the scripture, the popularity of Jesus in his life is at an all-time high. In fact, he's being followed around Galilee by thousands of people. And what he's beginning to do is he's beginning to show them exactly who he is. More than just a miracle worker, more than just an exciting show that's traveling around the countryside, Jesus wants to show that he is the one who can truly meet their deepest needs and the deepest longings of their heart. And as I thought about this, and as I thought about Jesus so boldly and passionately declaring who he is with this statement, I am, I thought about the generation that you and I live in. I thought about today. And I realized that this is a time when many people are actually asking the question, who am I? We find ourselves seemingly from moment to moment, this generation finds itself at different points of identity crisis. Everybody's trying to discover themselves and who their true identity is. Well, is it possible, and what I want us to think about today, is it possible that we're actually asking the wrong question? The real question shouldn't be, who am I and what am I all about? But the real question and the real place where I should find my identity is in God, in who he is, and in who he's revealed himself to be in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus shows us that he is the only source of true and lasting peace. He is the only source of happiness. And most importantly, he is the only way to eternal life. Now, before we look in a little bit more detail in John chapter 6, there is a little bit more, there's something a little bit more significant to this I am statement than just helpful illustrations. We can think of, well, Jesus says he's a door to eternal life, or he's a good shepherd, and those are illustrations that help us understand, but there's actually something more theologically significant here. And to find that, you would have to look in John chapter 8. We won't turn there, but in John chapter 8, Jesus is being confronted by a group of Pharisees. Now, you probably know that the Pharisees were the people that despised Jesus the most. If anybody was more concerned with who they were than who Jesus is, it was the Pharisees for sure. So they come to him and they're full of pride. They're proud of their heritage. They're proud of their identity as the children of Abraham. And they actually bring that up to Jesus. They say, well, we are Abraham's children. And without missing a beat, Jesus looks at them and he says this. He says, before Abraham was, I am. Now, when he said that, they immediately went back to the Old Testament. They remembered what God had said to Moses. God told Moses, when the children of Israel ask you who I am, you tell them, what my name is, you tell them, I am that I am. You see, from the book of Exodus, God the Father revealed himself as the all-sufficient one, the eternal one, the unchanging one, and the sovereign one. And Jesus, when he looks at these Pharisees, he says, that is who I am. This is Jesus. He is the great I am. He is the way. He is the truth. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So as we begin this series, as we look at who Jesus is, we've got to ask ourselves this question. Why would we want to look inside of ourselves for the answers when we have that kind of a Savior to look to, when we have Jesus Christ? And that is exactly what he begins to teach us when he says, I am the bread of life. So back now in John chapter 6, we need to back up a little bit. We looked at that statement in verse 35 where he says, I am the bread of life. But if we back up the story a little bit, back to verse number 24, we get a little bit of the context. We see what's going on. In verse number 24, you'll find the story plays out this way. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, neither his disciples, they also took shipping and came to Capernaum seeking for Jesus. And when they had found him on the other side of the sea, they said unto him, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? So you notice here that they are seeking for Jesus in verses 24 and in verse number 25. Why? Well, just the day before this happened, Jesus had performed a miracle where he fed 5,000 people. 5,000 people with just a few fish and a few loaves of bread. We saw that multiplied miraculously. And the people are amazed. And they did not want that feeding to stop. They're looking for him. They want to find him. And it's in this setting that we're really going to learn today three lessons about Jesus being the bread of life. Now, you have to understand what the people are thinking. These are Jewish people. They know the stories of Moses. And in their mind, what they're thinking is this. Well, I remember in the Old Testament, when the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they had no food to eat, and God gave them manna from heaven. And the manna came down, and they ate it every single day for 40 years. When they were with Moses, they could eat that really magical bread, so to speak, from heaven that God gave them. And now they see Jesus doing the same thing, multiplying this food so that they don't even have to worry. They're thinking, you know what? If we can keep following this guy, if we can go everywhere he goes, we'll never have to work a day in our lives again. He'll feed us. He'll take care of us. Then he'll bring in his kingdom. This is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. And the first lesson that Jesus teaches us is this, and what he's going to teach these people, they're going to have a hard time understanding it, and we sometimes do as well. That is this, number one, unfortunately, we often have the wrong appetites. As we think about the bread of life, we need to realize that sometimes you and I, we have the wrong appetites. This group of people in Galilee, they desired the physical bread. And Jesus is about to teach them that he desires to give them a spiritual bread. Notice what he says to them in verse number 26. In verse 26, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me, not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Did you see what he told them there? He said, you're not desiring greater miracles from me. You simply want your bellies to be filled. You simply want to eat the food that I can provide for you. And he says, you're working for the wrong thing. You're laboring for food that can spoil. You're laboring for food that can go bad. He says it will perish. But I have something for you that is eternal. I have something for you that can never, ever perish. And that's the bread of life. But like us, those people in that day, they had the wrong appetites. They're primarily concerned with their physical needs being met. And often, that's where we find ourselves. We want the physical needs to be met without us having to surrender our hearts to the Lord. We might have an attitude that, you know, I'm happy as long as I have everything that I want or that I need. Or we may say, Lord, I will worship you as long as everything in my life is going the way that I want it to go. That was the attitude that the people had. It's interesting that Jesus uses the illustration of bread. In our day and age, bread is optional. In fact, it's even some people would turn the bread down. Some people have, it's not only optional to them, but they would say, no, how about I take that sandwich without the bread? In that day and age, and in some cultures today, still, bread is not a luxury. Bread was the staple for living. Bread was identified with, well, you remember the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Bread was vital to their sustenance. And so they had good reason to be concerned with how they were going to eat each day, but Jesus said there is something more important than physical food. This isn't the first time we've seen Jesus say this. He said it to when he was tempted of the devil. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. So the question that we have to ask ourselves is, are we more concerned primarily with meeting our physical needs than allowing the Lord to minister to our spiritual needs? What he says to them is that don't labor, don't work so hard for those things that are going to perish or spoil, but work for things that are going to last for eternity, things that matter eternally. You think about the things that people live for, the things that people work so hard for, especially in a difficult time in the days that we're facing right now. We start to realize what are the most important things as we're with our families, as we're spending time with the people that are closest to us. We know that it is not the possessions that we have that are most important. And the most important thing that you and I as believers have is our relationship with the Lord. And there's not a circumstance in the world that can change that. But are we like the people in this account? Are we spending most of our time and most of our resources and all of our energy trying to accumulate things that are just going to rust, or they're just going to spoil, or they're going to quickly go old? Jesus says, don't spend all of your strength, don't spend all of your resources on those things that will soon disappear. So the first lesson that we learn here is that, sadly, often we have the wrong appetites. But there's a second lesson that we learn, and that brings us into verse number 28. In verse 28, they realize that he's correcting them, and they say to him, well, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Notice their reaction. It's almost as if they say, okay, you're right, we got it wrong, we're focused on the wrong things, so what? Just tell us what to do and we'll do it. What are the works of God? And we'll get to do, we'll get busy accomplishing them. Well, what Jesus is going to show them is our second lesson, and that is this. We must learn to receive rather than achieve. Learn to receive rather than achieve. You see, they still have a very self-reliant attitude. They still are saying, you know what? Okay, so maybe we're focused on the wrong thing, but tell us then, what is the works of God? And we will work those works of God. They're pretty presumptuous that there's something they could do to please God, or they could earn his favor on their own. And look how Jesus answers them in verse number 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God. Now, they asked him, show us the works. And he replies with work singular. They say, what are the things that we need to do to please God? And Jesus is showing them there's really only one thing. And it's not about achieving, it's about receiving. He says this. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus is saying this, the most important thing in your life is not what you do, but it's who you believe. It's not your effort, but it's about where your trust and where your faith is placed. Again, we tend to be very self-reliant. Whenever something happens in our lives, we want to be quick to say, all right, well, what's the step that I need to take? What is it that I need to do? What do I, and in a spiritual sense, people, in a religious way, they will say, well, what are the good works that I should do? How should I earn the kingdom of God? What should I do to achieve status with you, Jesus? And there's only one thing we can do. And we can't achieve it. We can only receive it. That's called grace. We have to believe, trust, depend on Jesus, the bread of life. You see, faith in Christ and the whole Christian life is really the opposite of religious performance. Religious performance says, this is what I will do. God, aren't you impressed with me? Won't you accept me because of this? But faith in Christ is when I recognize that, yes, I do good works, but all of the good works that I do, there's no way they could impress a perfect Savior. There's only one thing that pleases you, Lord, and that's faith. So I come empty of myself. We have to come empty of our pride and say, Lord, I want the bread that you have to offer. I want what only you can do and not what I can do on my own. So we see here that we've learned when Jesus says, I am the bread of life, that sometimes we have the wrong appetites. We've learned that it's important that we must receive and not achieve. And then thirdly, this morning, we learn from this passage that because Jesus is the bread of life, we can be perfectly and completely satisfied. Look at verse number 30. The Bible says in verse number 30, they said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe? What dost thou work? So I find this kind of funny that he's just performed a tremendous miracle, and now they're asking for another sign. He says, you need to believe in me, and they say, okay, well then show us a sign. And now look at what the sign is that they want. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. They're still not quite understanding it. They're saying, well, show us a sign. Maybe you could give us one more meal. Maybe we could have a little bit more to eat, and then we would believe in you. Jesus says this, verse 32. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. It didn't come from Moses. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. First off, he tells them, that manna they received, it didn't come from Moses, it came from God. But that manna wasn't the perfect bread from heaven. There would be something greater, and that is he that cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. He's explaining to them, it's me. You don't need the food, you need me. You don't need all these material resources, you need me. And oh, that should be our prayer for ourselves, our prayer for this generation, for our country, for the people around us, that we would see that we don't need all of these things. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the most important thing. Verse 34, they said unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. They're still not quite understanding it. They're still expecting him to give them something that they can eat. And he says in verse 35, the scripture that we began with, Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. So you could watch this morning, and you may even be a little skeptical. You may hear Christians say this kind of talk where, oh yes, Jesus completely satisfies. Jesus fills every desire of our heart. Jesus meets every need that we have. And that may sound to some like, oh well, that sounds nice, sounds almost a little bit like make-believe or wishful thinking. But he gives some reasons in this passage why the fact that we can trust him and find complete satisfaction in him is true. And one of those is quite simply this. He said, because I came down from heaven. Do we realize today that Jesus, as that great I am, he is the creator? He knows everything about us. He understands us completely. And if I want to know what will truly give me lasting joy, happiness, eternal life, who should I turn to other than the one who created me, the one who knows everything about me, and the one who truly knows how those needs can be met. But then he also identifies himself as being eternal. You see, we look at our lives through the lens of the short 80 or so years that we have to live here. And our vision and our judgment is clouded by our own perspectives. Jesus' vision is not limited by any of that. He is the eternal one. He is the everlasting one. He knows the beginning at the end, or I should say he knows the end at the beginning. He knows your story before it's even been written. You can trust him. And really, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to a personal choice that each of us have to make. Jesus said here, if you'll believe in me, you'll never hunger. If you'll believe in me, you'll never thirst. But sadly, in the next verse, he said, but you haven't believed on me. So the question for all of us today is this. First of all, for the believers in Christ, you have believed on him. We have believed on him. But are we living in a way where our full dependence is on him as the bread of life, or have we started to try to figure out our lives on our own? Are there areas, do we need to wake up each day and renew our devotion that says, Jesus, you truly are all that I need? But then, for those that may not have ever trusted Christ as their Savior, you have to make the decision. The ultimate question in life is not who you are and who you will be, but the ultimate question that each of us has to answer is, who is Jesus? Do you realize that he is the Son of God, the Savior of the world that came? He gave his body on the cross. He died for your sins. He rose again to give us eternal life. And he's waiting for you to call out to him and ask him to be your Savior. I'd encourage you to do that right now, wherever you are. Simply bow your heart, bow your head to him, and in a simple prayer say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I can't live my life on my own. I can't earn my salvation on my own. Not my religion, not my good works, but Jesus, I want to put my trust in you as the bread of life. The Bible says if you'll do that, if you'll call on the name of Jesus, he'll forgive your sins, he'll make you a child, and you will take part in the bread of life, and you'll have eternal life. Would you do that today? If you still have questions, we would love for you to reach out to us. Send us a message or give us a call, and we'd love to show you from the Bible more of what Jesus has to say about how we can find our ultimate hope and salvation in him. So let's all be encouraged as we remember that our ultimate satisfaction, our ultimate joy is not in the situation around us, but it is in the person of Jesus Christ, the great I am. We'll finish with this passage once more, John 6:35. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that you'd help us this week to live lives of faith, to live depending on you, to wake up each day and to hunger for the bread of life that only you can give. Lord, and I pray for those who may not know you, I pray for those who you are speaking to that they would surrender, that they would put their faith and their trust in you and you alone. We ask this all in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for being with us today, and let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another. And God be with you until we gather again.